Production. Recorded live.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Jeremy. It's 9 o'clock on June 15th, and this is the 8th in an audio series offering insight, clarity, and suggestions for coping with state-sanctioned coercive persuasion tactics, including brainwashing, deception, disinformation, terrorism, and mind control. The intended audience for this podcast is also dealing with tactics that can't simply be made to go away just with an attitude change. However, those tactics can be counterfeited or disguised in a highly misleading way. By becoming better at troubleshooting and winnowing out misleading information, you, the listener, can become more discerning. You can learn to tell the difference between what's really happening and what you imagine to be happening. You can learn to tune out that which isn't important, helping you to focus on that which is important. The real battle is within. The final two podcasts in this series will, I hope, make this abundantly clear. There have actually been 8 previous podcasts. One of them had to be pulled down because it didn't live up to my standards. The other 7 are currently offline and are being remastered. They'll be up again shortly. In the meantime, on tonight's podcast, I'm examining accusations, scapegoating, and TIs. It's a pretty relevant topic. There's a companion podcast run by Tammy on TalkShow. It's Tammy's Self-Help Hour. In her next show, she'll be interviewing a Dr. Mandel. That show is TalkShow ID number 95450, and it starts at 4 p.m. Eastern this Saturday. I'll start off with the usual introduction, and then I'll be accepting listener questions and comments. Before I get started, the views and opinions of callers do not necessarily represent the views of myself or this website. Scapegoating. When an individual, organization, or society is facing failure, it's only natural to look for someone to blame. In group settings, opportunists who sense this can ride a wave of hatred to the top of the visible power structure. All they need is someone everyone can agree is to blame for their problems, a scapegoat. Scapegoating is a political process involving complex social interactions, secret arrangements, propaganda, and the selection of targets. It's enormously unfair for the victims. Everyone knows this, and nobody wants to be a target of it. As a political process, it's often practiced by politicians. An endearing trait of politicians is that they want it both ways. They want to take credit for successes, but want to blame someone else for their failures. Now, many listeners on this call believe, or believed at one point, that they were singled out as scapegoats. It seems like many key elements are there. In particular, they're seeing signals of hostility from people around them. And they're seeing signals that doors are being closed on them, that they're being barred from opportunities in a deliberate way. And it's all linked to an organized campaign of harassment. But if you've listened to the previous podcast on the program and agree with it, you know that those signals can be manufactured out of thin air. If you think of targeting as a series of psychological messages, highly misleading messages, you realize that with a few exceptions, especially at the beginning, you're really only being sent messages that people around you are hostile. You're being sent messages that people around you are in on the activities happening behind your back. Your mind makes those messages real. Your mind invents an explanation. Scapegoating seems like a reasonable explanation for many people in your position. They are letting you know they don't approve of your personal history or lifestyle choices, which are being blown way out of proportion. There's so many people involved. There's so much hatred. What else could it be? Maybe you're imagining that you're the target of baseless accusations. To make that explanation believable, you're going to be offered an accuser, someone who's actually making those accusations to your face. And those accusations will seem to be amplified through the process of targeting. Unfortunately, the line between accuser and accused can be blurry. When you're targeted, especially if you're going through a program of street-level harassment, you're looking for someone to blame. You probably have a couple of obvious culprits, but there are so many people participating, you know it's all bigger than them. You invent culprits and are offered suggestive evidence, leading you to believe you're right. The program is a scapegoating program, not of you, but by you. You're not the scapegoat. You're being offered a scapegoat. Here's some examples. Criminal gangs. This seems like a believable culprit, especially because what you're going through is obviously criminal harassment. If you accept this explanation, you're going to be approaching the police with an incredible story, a story you can't back up with evidence, either because it happens behind your back, or it's deniable, or elements of the story refer to details of your personal life that you'd rather not discuss. Closely related to this is the idea of ethnic gangs. Perhaps everyone joining in will seem to be of the same ethnicity, ideally the same ethnicity as the people you think are the ringleaders. This is a highly effective scapegoating campaign because if you complain about it, you look like a bigot. And in fact, ascribing malicious intent to every person of a given ethnicity, that's what it is, bigotry. Another possible scapegoat, satanic cults or Freemasonry. To a person of a certain mindset, this scapegoating campaign offers everything he could ever want, a perfect witch hunt and thought reform package. All of society's ills can be blamed on shadowy, secretive networks of evil people working in darkness. If only these people could be rooted out, if only they could be identified. If there are evil ways that are to be blamed, so maybe if we could just invade everyone's privacy and punish them for not behaving that way, society would be purged of these problems. What you have to understand is that, first of all, if you complain about this religiously themed scapegoating, you seem like a religious maniac, almost mentally ill. Now, anybody who knows about government-run trauma-based mind control programs knows that child sexual abuse is an important part of these programs. The children who are victims of these programs exist in a supposedly free society, so they might be able to get through to someone who could help them. If the abuse is cloaked in occult rituals, they can be made to report unbelievable stories to potential sympathizers. Anyone can put on a robe and hood and pretend to be a devil worshiper. Plus, you've got government agents like Ted Gunderson telling us satanic cults are running wild across America. Ted got his data from three informants and extrapolated to the entire country. Many of us understand how data that comes from one source can be made to look like it's coming from multiple sources. What I'm telling you is, consider the ultimate source. To me, this whole satanic cult thing looked like an obvious cover-up. The satanic cult and Freemasonry scapegoating operation helps keep sympathizers away because the stories sound ridiculous, while keeping sympathizers of a certain bent chasing after shadows. And the abuse continues on, unabated. Then there's corporations. Corporations as a scapegoat, there's two possible false leads. The first is the employees of the corporation. You might be led to believe that all the employees of a certain company, like your local cable company, that's a common one, have it in for you. I think the cable company or internet service provider as a scapegoat is especially effective because, of course, those kinds of companies will have access to your private viewing habits or internet habits. So if you're getting treatment suggesting that everyone around you is privy to that information from your personal life, some psychological messages suggesting that those service providers are all in on it will be extremely convincing. I really can't persuade you to believe otherwise when you're in the thick of it. But if you've already been through this phase and have moved on to more advanced phases, just consider that the signals of hostility you experienced might have been manufactured by the real perpetrators. The second false lead is the corporation itself. It's tempting. If you think of targeting as the car that's running you over, you might think that a corporation is in the driver's seat. You might have had a run-in with a big company, like a lawsuit or a large insurance claim. Big companies have been known to harass individuals who stand to cost them a lot of money before. Don't get me wrong. There's even a term for tactics that seem similar to what targets go through, rough shadowing. This is something that private investigators do on behalf of corporations who want to harass someone they consider a nuisance. It's like the conspicuous surveillance the targets report, but not anywhere near as subtle or manpower intensive. It takes time or travel or both to figure out that no corporation could be doing what you're experiencing. The ultimate scapegoat is, of course, the government. Here, we're getting close to the mark. Only a government's resources could sustain targeting as we understand it. But when you blame the government as a monolithic entity, you're smearing everyone from the Oval Office down to the clerks at the local DMV. There are powerful factions attacking the idea of government itself. They want to dismantle the aspects of the visible government they don't like, such as social services, while maintaining the aspects of the government they do like, such as the military. But those factions and their most visible representatives in the establishment right can also be a source of misdirection. A government can operate through any number of organizations or individuals who don't appear to have any connection to the government, such as non-governmental organizations, private contractors, blackmailed or otherwise compromised individuals, and so on. It's not an easy topic to analyze. A government is an embodiment of pure power, and power gets what it wants. Power operates through whatever vessels offer themselves. Individuals who are willing to debase themselves can gain considerable stature or personal power by offering the power whatever it wants. You have to avoid the lure of easy answers. Scapegoating is about misdirection. Often, but not always, the person or group responsible for scapegoating is trying to draw attention away from his or their own flaws or mismanagement. All the manpower that gets mobilized is used as a human shield. Scapegoating thrives on secrecy on both sides. The person or group organizing a scapegoating campaign plots in secrecy, or so they imagine, and the scapegoating person or group isn't perfectly transparent either, which makes it easier to invent malicious intent and make the accusation stick. Isolated actions or events can be taken out of context, and confirmation bias rears its ugly head again. Remember what I said in the first podcast on disinformation. If you're looking hard enough for evidence, you're going to find it, no matter how ridiculous the accusations are. Scapegoating preys on your desires, whether you're orchestrating it or get swept up in it. You want there to be a culprit. You want there to be an easy answer. Maybe you've already taken the side and the scapegoating process is giving you what you want. Maybe the scapegoating is preying on your most deeply held prejudices. Many TIs become expert at crafting accusations in the absence of evidence. Like, for example, accusations that stick, whether or not they're true. Accusations for which there is no correct answer, or for which any answer triggers a counter-accusation. That's exactly what a guilty person would say, or typical perp tactic. How many times have words like those left your mouth? You're challenging me. You must be one of them. Or, you're not challenging me. That means you know I'm right. How about that? Then there's accusations of nebulous activities which can't be quantified, but nevertheless, the accused is expected to cease and desist. You know what you're doing. Stop it. How many times have you said something like that? Some TIs might even invent details to move the accusations along. They might rationalize that they're just filling in the blanks with the most logical answers, and if the invented details stick, they're on to something. They might try to provoke what they see as obviously guilty people into damaging admissions. They might follow accused gang stalkers around the city, filming their every movement. Ransacking your surroundings for evidence, stalking people, making accusations of guilt, trying to provoke people or manipulate them into making damaging admissions. If this is how you're responding, you've become everything you imagine the perpetrators to be. You've become a TI, a toxic individual. There are wrong ways to react to the provocations that come with the territory. Starting with a presumption of guilt and working backwards to get the desired result doesn't yield justice when the authorities do it. Why would you expect the results to be any more fair when you do it? If you can step back from the provocation and see the messages for what they are, just messages, nothing more, you'll begin to see clearly what they're trying to get you to do. You'll eventually be able to glimpse who's sending those messages and how they're sending them. If you're beginning to sense at this point in the podcast that you've allowed yourself to become a toxic individual, this is your invitation to detoxify. Recognize that within you which makes you want to accuse, to vilify, to scapegoat, to overlook flaws in your position and pounce on any shred of evidence which supports it. It's your hatred. It's your fear of the unknown. It's your prejudices. It's your desire for vindication. It's all you. Okay. That ends the introduction. If anybody has anything to say, I guess we can start. People can start raising their hands. Tammy, you got anything? Hello.
Hey, Jeremy. Yeah, yes. I've got a comment and a question.
Okay.
All right. First, I want to apologize to everyone in case I offended anybody with my emails. I'm being tortured, and even small things like being slandered by fellow targets, in quotes, is traumatizing to me. But I take responsibility for my actions, and I want to be sure to say I'm sorry to anybody I may have offended. It's not typical of me to be so vulgar and angry. It's merely my reaction to direct targeting. And I want to be clear that I'm not apologizing to perps or to people who hurt me and my children. I'm only apologizing to innocent people who were caught in the crossfire. And because of that, I have a question for you. Because you are like the picture of calm, usually, 99.9% of the time. And you know what that 0.1% is. But anyway, but yeah, you always are able to stay calm, even under heavy fire. So I need advice on how not to act like a perp. And what I mean by that is when somebody targets me, I get filled with rage, and I want to see them put in prison. I want to expect others to realize how evil they are. I even wish the death penalty on them. I think they deserve the death penalty. Those thoughts go through my head all the time. Like, yeah, these people are horrible. If I were the judge, I would give them the death penalty. And I get increasingly angry when I realize that they are torturing me in an effort to have more blood on their hands and that they want my blood on their hands. They want that obituary that says I committed suicide. And I don't think they'll relent in the terrorism until they reach that goal. Even if they never do, then it just goes on the rest of your life. So I want retribution for how they've hurt me and my children. How can I rid myself of that desire? I know from past experience that these people hide evidence and they go after me with such force, and they almost always get away with it. Is it wrong of me to want to go after them? And if not, how can I at least change my strategy to keep the rage toward them and their attack and of me and my children out of it, out of my response? Do you have any advice for me on that?
Yeah, I have some opinions on that. I think, first of all, you are being severely provoked, especially recently. And I think it's only natural for you to get upset when it seems like there's a threat of separation from your children. But, of course, getting upset doesn't help you reunite with your children. So you do have to be able to keep your emotions in check and recognize these provocations for what they are. They're provocations. So one thing you could do is you can kind of just a thought. What you could do when you feel really provoked and you feel really angry at somebody, rather than immediately going onto your email list or onto Facebook or whatever and saying how angry you are, keep that to yourself. Say it somewhere where nobody else can see it. You know, this is just like a mental exercise. And then come back to it later. Come back to what you said. And do you recognize that anger? Do you see how you were being provoked? Do you see how they were provoking you into that kind of reaction?
Yeah, that is really good advice already, just because I've read some of the things that I wrote, you know, back in the day during different events, and I think, oh, my God, you know, I see it differently. That, yeah, okay, go ahead.
No, that's basically it. You need to be able to dissociate from that so that you can see what they're trying to do to provoke you by any means necessary. And one way is just to look, is to just set it aside and then come back to it later.
So maybe
if
I
can look at it later.
Not Harry.
If you look at it later, you can analyze how you are being provoked and learn to not overreact to these provocations.
All right. That's good advice because, you know, I'm in a trauma state and it's hard. It's easy for me to help other people, but it's really kind of hard for me to help myself sometimes, you know? So I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Sure. No problem. Okay. We've got Michigan raising his hand. Hello, Michigan.
Yes. How you doing, Jeremy? This is Bilal Vatiai from Dearborn. And
okay.
I was just listening to what you were saying. You were just describing exactly what I'm going through. I mean, you were just going through it like you are.
It's the same program we're all put through. So.
Yeah, and just please tell Tan, I'm not the only one. I am just going through it. I'm just becoming to a point where... you know, I've called the police a few times. Recently, I was able to pinpoint where some of the activity is coming from. I've had several situations where now I'm getting to a point where I'm realizing those, maybe not everybody in the neighborhood is on this, but it's just a matter of time before they get the coalition and the assistance of the entire neighborhood. It's just, this is, the perpetrators have a tremendous way of convincing everybody around of how bad you are.
Well, that's the way it seems. What you have to understand is that you're being sent messages from people around you, right?
They sent me a lot of messages, like I'm a bad person, I'm a dissident, I'm an evil guy, I am... even sometimes I'm watching TV. I was watching TV once one of the guys was telling a lady, you are something like, you're ugly, cruel, pathological, and sick. And my phone rang right there. can you believe this? And it's just sick. It is absolutely sick. I really do not know what to say. I got no bad intentions towards anybody, but I had situations where my pictures were taken anywhere I go in the country. I had the sheriff department take my pictures, 5 or 6 different locations. I got the police. They go in hiding. All of a sudden, after I get like done with my objectives from a store or something and walk away, all of a sudden they flash their lights. They do exactly what the stalkers are doing. I was really shocked. And I'm just getting to a point where I get vehicles that follows me 200-400 miles when I'm driving. And I drive for a living, by the way. And
okay.
And it's becoming really traumatizing. I am not just I'm not living the trauma. I'm the trauma. When
okay.
I make it to the house, yeah. It's just,
yeah, no. I understand that. I'm always wondering how to get through to someone in your situation and in your stage of a program. But the main thing you have to recognize is that. You never really know who's making these people do these things, right? You just invent explanations. It's in your head, and there's no reliable there's no reliable source for where that's coming from. You know, where who's sending them instructions or whatever to act out in a particular way. So you have what I advise you to do is just treat it like a show. They're sending you messages, and those messages are very disturbing, but that's all they are, messages. It's talk, right? And also, and one other thing, you're probably getting break-ins and things like that, right?
I get assaulted almost every night. When I'm traveling, I get assaulted every night. They get to some people around me, and they give them, I think, some tools, and they get assaulted every night with electronic weapons. That's just...
Oh, okay. So you are getting electronically harassed?
Absolutely. Every night when I'm at home, I do that.
All right. All right. Well, that makes things easier to explain. Well, here's the thing. Electronic harassment. We're getting kind of off the beaten path for this particular podcast, but nobody else has their hands raised, so I might as well address it. But you know, electronic harassment. What you think is the source and what you think is its capabilities, that might not actually be what it actually is. But I assume that it's not leaving any physical evidence behind. You're just feeling these horrible pains or whatever every night, right?
The pain is I got humming noise in my ears. It keeps fluctuating.
Yeah, I know.
There is severe pain in the head. Right now I have my right shoulder, my neck, right side, and... It's all not working properly. I have a lot of pain in it now. Sometimes I wake up at night when I'm sweating and my body is itching and burning. My eyes are burning. I had sometimes where I get some pain in my eyes, like it comes in quickly, a sudden pain, and then it goes away.
I understand that. So basically what you're telling me is that you don't know what the source is and you don't know what effects it's having on your body, but you know that it's causing you pain.
It is causing me pain, and I know what it's going to do to my body. It's killing me.
Well, no. You know that it hurts. That's what you know.
Yes, it does hurt. Yep.
Yeah. Okay, well, here's something I would like you to consider. This is just something I would like you to consider. And I don't expect you to accept it just because you hear it on a conference call, but if it's... Many other TI's experiences, including mine, which is that if your pain centers are stimulated in your brain, you can be made to feel any sensation anywhere in the body, okay?
Mm-hmm.
In theory, this is possible. So the source of the electronic harassment you're experiencing might lie in your brain through electronic stimulation of your brain, your pain centers. Do you get the idea?
I got you, yes.
Okay. Now, here's something else I would like you to consider. Let's suppose that this technology is not just usable on you. It's also usable on others.
I believe it does. I believe it's basically someone is trying to basically push people to, because it varied from one stage to another for me. I mean, I've been realizing that I'm going through this program, and in a few years in the back, you know, in the back years, like in 2008, 2007, it has made me resulted in a lot of conflict between me and my family, and it basically I almost went through a divorce process. But now the family's together.
Okay. And, so anyway, what I would like you to consider, if I'm not interrupting, is, and this was actually demonstrated decades ago by Delgado in his electronic mind control experiments.
Yes.
When actions are evoked in animals or people, they consider those actions completely natural, and they rationalize them away.
That's true.
So perhaps the people around you could be made to act out, and they wouldn't even realize it. Are you following that?
Yeah, I'm listening, yes. I had mood swings sometimes, especially when I'm sleep deprived. The following day, I would have severe mood swings, and it's just I was trying to make the ration out of that. But, you know, and I went to a doctor's, you know, in the past, and I've been suffering from this, like, since 2002.
Mm-hmm.
The doctors told me it's you have severe mood swings and you are severely tuned to everything around you much more than other people. You are well tuned to everything around you much more than anybody else around you. I told him that's not the case. How come I did not have that in the past? He said to me, sometimes you may develop this any time in your life. I, at the time, had to just accept the fact. And I was given medications, one medication after the other. And some of it was, I was also diagnosed, and that's what they said, it's bipolar disorder. I think it's bullshit. But that's a severe mood swings. And the funny part is, after I found out what I've been having, and I cut the medicine for like weeks at a time, I do not have a problem. I'm not fighting with anybody. I do not have any issues because I know I'm being tortured. Once you have that on the back of your head and you know that this is going to really affect your behavior, all of a sudden you don't have problems with other people. Does that make any sense?
Okay. In any case, what I'm telling you is these signals of hostility you're getting from people around you, those signals might be provoked with electronic mind control technology. That's what I'm suggesting. You know, of course, none of us know, but it is the explanation that makes the most economic sense.
No, whenever I go to a place, they already followed me to that place. And they have something in their hand, like they give something to somebody to show him something. And the sentiment and the attitude of the people in that area would have been changed completely after they have that.
Well, I understand what you're saying, but what I'm suggesting is it's all mind control. What I'm suggesting that. I'm not saying it's definitely the case, but... of course, I don't know, but let me suggest that there's just really only a couple of people involved, and they're getting people around you to act out and show signs of hostility.
I think now it's just getting to a point where anywhere I go in the country, I will have that situation. For example, if I'm taking a break and I have to take a legal break somewhere to relax, once I get out, you know, I have people just do stupid things, act stupid.
Yeah, no, I understand that. Well, what I'm suggesting is that the people around you who are doing these things have no idea what they're doing, right? You are ascribing intentionality.
I do not believe so. I think whoever is convincing them to do this, they're doing it out of purpose, or they're doing it because they think it's the right thing to do. This is my impression of what's going on.
Okay, well, that's just your impression. But
I've seen most of the vehicles that follows, actually, it's veterans and military, stuff like that. And that's other than just locals that they get into in the act. And I honestly believe from the explanation of what's going on around, this is really something the military is involved with. In 2010, in August of 2010, I delivered a load to Fort Dix, New Jersey. When I got into that military installation,
I understand that. And you saw something, and you think everything stems out of that.
I think things were going before that; they were going bad. But after that one, it just got maybe five or six times, maybe 10 times worse.
Okay.
With three officers that were inside to give me the gate pass and everything else, I heard them talking. There were not that many people around me and another guy. And he said, this guy could be a potential.
Okay.
And he picked up a phone. And he was making phone calls. I walk away from there, I go deliver to the installation and walk away. And after that, man, the stalking has I went to California after that delivery. I went to Utah and from Utah to California. I have been stalked all over the freaking place. And I had multiple reports coming back from California. And my life was never the same after that. I was back in August last year.
Okay.
So I think it's multiple things that happened. It's not just one stalker on one. I wasn't just on one person's list. It was a multiple people. And eventually someone has basically put me on a ultimate trust list somewhere where now everybody is in on the act. That's what I think it happened. In other words, eventually they put me on an scapegoat list and somebody's being funded to do all this garbage.
Okay. All right, thanks for sharing.
You're welcome. No problem.
Okay, Gene, you have your hand up. Hello. Hello?
Hello?
There we are.
Hi. Okay, can you hear me now?
Yep.
I was wondering if you could repeat the main points you made about the government as a scapegoat. I'm on muscle relaxants, and I'm a little out of it, and I didn't get that part of your introduction.
Okay, well, basically what I'm saying is that if you blame the government as a monolithic entity, well, that's obviously a pretty broad smear because that includes everybody. That includes a lot of people who have nothing to do with this.
Okay, well, I mean, what is your theory then in who we should
blame?
Well,
I'm not presenting a theory.
Okay.
I mean, if I were to explain my personal theory, I would say that it's all black military ops and intelligence agencies working. But, you know, it's just a theory. I didn't get into that in this podcast. I'm just pointing out that the mechanisms they use against targets in these operations get targets to scapegoat other groups, and one of those groups is the government or even specific government organizations. Like there will be people who are convinced that the post office is in on it. Well, you know, there you are. You know, I'm just pointing out that these psychological operations that are used against targets, you know, they turn targets into scapegoating machines. They're looking for someone to blame. And, of course, that can carry over into your personal life and into interactions with other targets even.
Well, I wanted to ask you a question about that, too, if I'm not interrupting.
No,
not at all.
Okay. Now, you said, you know, some people will think that the post office is in on it or, you know, the police department. When I look back, and I was talking to you earlier about this, Jeremy, when I look back on the two incidents where there were police officers involved, it wasn't the whole department. It was a couple of specific officers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the incidents took place where they did, was because those officers were willing to participate. So for me to say that the whole police department or every police department is in on it, that's inaccurate. I can't say that. And I can't hate all cops, you know? Like just the three cops who were involved in my targeting, oh, I can hate them all day long. But I can't speak out against the whole department. You know what I mean?
Right.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Well, that's just it. I mean... It's like the problems that you and a few others have had with, say, telephone companies. Well, it's obviously not the entire telephone company that's interfering with your telephone calls. It's a couple of people inside the company, but you can't see those people. They're invisible. And, of course, those people can be assets. They can be blackmailed, compromised assets.
Well, yeah, like I can't say that the whole of AT&T is in on it because, like, if I were to go get a job with AT&T, I would not learn in my training how to target people.
Exactly.
Same with the post office. If you got a job with the post office, they wouldn't teach you how to target somebody specifically.
Yep. Yeah, but there will be incidents in many TIs, ordeals, where there will be involvement from employees of any one of these organizations, telephone companies, post office, whatever. The participation will be knowing. They will be doing it knowingly.
Right.
You know, they know what they're doing. But to say that everybody at all times is in on it and knows all about it, no.
Well, I have another question, and I don't know if you're even going to be able to answer this, Jeremy. I've never brought this up before. is there any way to be able to tell on an individual basis, like, who is being manipulated to target you, you know, like being led to do that through subliminals or a slander campaign that they've been exposed to, because they never tell you those things. So is there a way to tell who's, like, led to do it and who is actually, quote, end quote, in on it?
Well, you know, if hurtful words or insults I guess not hurtful words, but insults or threats leave a person's mouth. You know, who cares whether they were manipulated into it or mind controlled into it or knowingly doing it? If there's not a part of your head that says, "Gee, I really shouldn't have done that," then it was all you. That's the way I look at it.
So it's like one of those. If they know not what they do, well. No, okay, they know what they're doing, obviously, because they're doing it. So if it leaves their lips, then, hey, no matter if they're in on it or not,
they're capable of that. If they're doing something that's obviously offensive and it doesn't occur to them that it's offensive, well, it was in them to do that.
So are you saying that it doesn't matter figuring out? That's kind of what I'm getting from what you're saying. It doesn't matter to, because I do this sometimes. I waste a lot of time sitting around thinking about who was manipulated to do something and who just did it willingly, or, you know, who knows what they're doing and maybe even taking orders or whatever.
Well, again, you get in these psychological warfare operations, you get all these psychologically significant actions which actually don't mean anything out of context. They're anchored to something significant, right? And the person who's doing those things has no idea that what he's doing is wrong. But someone comes up to you and tells you, "You deserve to lose your kids." Where did that come from? They don't get away with it just because they say they were mind controlled.
Well, and you know what gets me about those people is that every one of them that says that is somebody who was pretending to be on my side or alleging to be on my side beforehand, including my parents in this most recent attack by a couple of people. But they paid the retainer for my attorney, but then they refused to testify in my behalf. And they were saying, "We're on your side, we're on your side," but they would not testify for me.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't write a letter. They would do nothing, you know. And it's like, and then those kind of people who I know, I have no question in my mind whether they're doing what they're doing on purpose or being manipulated. But that's just an example.
Yeah. Well, if you do something that's obviously wrong, right? Well, like that kind of stuff you're talking about, it doesn't matter whether you were manipulated into doing it.
Yeah.
You knew that you were doing it, and you knew that was wrong. Now, it would be interesting to think about what is behind it. What twisted their arm to do that? It's interesting to think about that. But you know, they did it. They did something that's really obviously wrong.
Well, and every time I try to think about that, I end up at the same conclusion just about every single time, is I don't want to be in their head. I'm so glad that I wouldn't behave that way towards another human being, or that I have to be really heavily provoked by a specific person to choose to go after them anyway. It takes a lot of provocation for me to finally say, okay, that's it, the gloves are off. But that's where I always come when I try to think about them and how they think and why they did what they did. I think, you know what? I don't want to know. I don't want to understand that mentality. I mean, I'm glad for people who do research psychopaths or cruel people or abusers or whatever, because I can read their research. But when I try to get into the people who've done these things to me, when I try to get in their head, I end up just so disgusted, I got to get out of that head, you know?
Okay. Yeah. And, my advice from earlier in the call still applies. Don't let the provocations get to you. If a strong emotional response is provoked, put it aside. Think about it later.
Yeah, you've inspired me. I think I'm going to start a diary and just keep a diary. And
all right.
I'm going to make sure that, you know, I'm just going to think before I react to what people are putting me through. Got to. I have to. I've been doing that for a couple of months with my ex.
You can react, but you have to have an outlet for that reaction, which doesn't get delivered into everybody's face.
I don't want it to impose on my nature either. I don't want to come across as somebody that I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in a trauma state and I'm being attacked, but if that weren't happening, I would not be angry and all of those things that, you know, aren't natural. You know, it's not natural parts of your life, but it is not naturally occurring. So, yeah, I want to remain true to me. Got to, you know, be true to myself at this point, too. That's another thing that I've been focusing on lately. I'm not a cruel or vicious or malicious, vengeful person by nature. That's something, a role I've been forced into. So they kind of win, you know. when they get a reaction out of me. And like I was saying before your show started, today's a great day to do that. I've had 4 days without contact with my children, so I'm very upset about that. And I've had a lot of attacks on my character over the last week that I should not have had. And somebody I consider a family member, you, is also having that same kind of thing happening. And that's too much for me. I wish my family reacted the way that I react instead of, you know, jumping on board, let's ruin Tammy bus.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've got another caller. You mind if I take him?
Oh, sorry. I'm not at the computer. Go ahead.
Yep. All right. Michigan.
Yes. I was just listening to part of it. The perps, whoever is watching or monitoring me, actually had me disconnected, so I had to redial back. And I was just listening to the lady and what she was saying. I did not get her name because I got in the middle of that. I have been exposed last week as well, or during this past week, and they went through me pretty much the same way. I think what they are trying to do is all the moves are calculated, and they're trying to push you, to provoke you to do something, and then they get you on tape and try to get you in trouble, and then just to continue to prove that you really, that's what you deserve, what you're getting.
I understand that. And that's something I'll be getting into in depth next week on the podcast on manipulation and provocation. I was going to have that this week, but I figured that this topic is more appropriate. Yeah, they do manipulate you, and or they provoke you in private, and they want a public reaction, and then they just sit back and watch you overreact and get yourself in trouble.
Exactly. And that's how they got me in trouble. And this is how they got the funding. This is how they got all these people do all these things to me. It's just push me to the limits one day after another. And just remember, with sleep deprivation and pain, it will happen. And if you're not fully aware of what's going on, they'll just get you where they want you. Isn't that correct, Jeremy?
Excuse me? Sorry, I wasn't paying attention to the last
test. I said if someone has been trying to get you in trouble and they are calculated like these guys are, what they do is they basically give you the aggravation by sleep deprivation. They attack you when you're unable to sleep at night.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, when you're asleep at night, then your ability to problem solving and handle situations will just plummet.
Yeah, well, sleep deprivation is an important part of the program that you guys are put through. There's no question about that.
When you are sleep deprived and you cannot really have your problem solving skills, well,
mm-hmm,
you will have
right.
No problem solving skills whatsoever as a human being. Therefore, your moves are not calculated. And they just take advantage of that and they use that and utilize it against you 100%. And they catch you on tape, they take advantage of that, and they basically use any move, any mistakes you do, and they just make you the bad person. That's all.
Well, that's certainly how it seems. But another thing you have to keep in mind, yeah, it's true that you're sleep deprived and that affects your problem solving skills, but also affects your learning ability, right?
That is correct.
So you might not be really wrapping your head around the tactics that they're using and why they're doing what they're doing as readily as you could otherwise. You know, sleep deprivation is an important part of traditional brainwashing, right? And the funny thing about brainwashing is that brainwashed people don't know that they're brainwashed. So you look at the sleep deprivation that's been used on you for several years now, I'm guessing.
I would say yes, at least 6 to 7 years now.
Yeah, so you're getting the sleep deprivation, you're getting harassment. This could be tantamount to a brainwashing program, and of course you wouldn't know that you were brainwashed. So you might have very inaccurate beliefs about what's really going on. I'm not questioning the sleep deprivation. I'm not questioning the harassment. I'm just questioning the conclusions you've drawn about why they're going after you or the nature of their motivation.
They
I'm
made me hear a lot of things, you know. They made me hear a lot of things, you know. They did not say any specific thing. There are multiple things that they said. But the most recent thing, they are considering me the devil.
Okay, yeah. Well, like I said, sleep deprivation, harassment, that's part of a brainwashing program. And you wouldn't know that you were brainwashed. So, you know, try to cope with this as best you can. It's going to be very difficult when you're still in the middle of sleep deprivation. And that it's really unfortunate. Recovery and getting a grasp of what's going on when you're sleep deprived, it's very difficult.
Absolutely, it is. I mean, you can't really just go with your daily tasks. It's becoming very hard for me to drive for a living because they really get at it sometimes, and the harassment goes up to the roof. And the other thing is, I know you can take so much harassment, then you pretty much going to lose it. that I try to basically, one of the reasons I think why they're saying I'm the devil, because I'm still able to drive and still go on with my life with everything they have already probably planned or set up for me, as well as my ability to basically dodge some of the garbage that they are doing, as I am not responsive to what they are doing. I'm trying to not respond to anything they do. And that's probably not making them feel comfortable. They're trying. They're utilizing everybody they can. They're utilizing everything they can to make me feel uncomfortable.
Yep, don't let yourself get provoked.
Yes. They're throwing consumables right next to me when I go to sleep. I would be, by the time I wake up, the truck or my equipment will smell awful. I'll smell awful inside the cab. I mean, they're doing a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
They use the electronic harassment stuff so that I cannot go to sleep when I'm trying to go to sleep. And so the sleep deprivation will continue. They sometimes even do damage to the equipment, but not severe damage, minor damage. And that cannot be predicted or expect, you know, not something major. They're trying to be careful not doing anything major, but they do minor stuff all the time. And this is just an ongoing vicious cycle. The same thing here with the neighbors. When you try to find something and you're out and someone is taking your picture or someone is doing something stupid, I know the electronic harassment is coming from the neighbors as well. The police made it here multiple times. And one of them, they told me, we know that you're going through some stuff and it's painful and all that stuff. One of them suggested to me, he told me, just we have no proof. You have no proof. There is nothing we can do.
Right, well, that's just it. The police have to act on evidence. And if you don't have evidence, then they can't do anything. So, unfortunately, that's just the way this is. It doesn't leave evidence behind this whole process, or nothing that you can prove that is evidence. And so you can't overreact to those provocations, including calling the police when there's no evidence.
Yeah, that's what I'm starting to do right now. It's just I'm not going to call, although I suffer and I go through a lot every night. But I decided not to call the police. One of the guys told me just to basically use aluminum foil and try to basically build yourself a room in the basement and use aluminum foil. You know, that's what you can do at this point. And use some reflective mirrors up until you figure something out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the fact is, this is not going to be a solution. It is some kind of a solution, but it's not really in any way a solution to what's going on. The solution is to catch these people in the act where they're doing it, and just to expose them for who they are. And I can pinpoint maybe three or four in the neighborhood, but the three or four have a dramatic effect on the rest of them. This is just one situation here. But whenever I move or I go somewhere, that stuff would follow me anywhere I go. They are connected or interconnected, and it's not any specific race.
Okay. All right. Yeah, well, in any case, you're seeing all this stuff happening around you, and you're assuming that all these people are communicating with each other or are receiving orders that they're aware of and so on. All I'm going to say is that's just an assumption. That's just an idea that you have. And the idea and the place where you got the idea was from them. And these people, in case you haven't figured it out, aren't really a trustworthy source of information.
Yep, that's true, too.
As for the aluminum foil stuff, yeah, I've got to agree with what people chimed in with in the chat room. That looks crazy. You know, putting aluminum foil all over the place looks crazy. That's it's unfortunate, but it's true. So I would recommend that you avoid doing that. You know, if there have actually been instances, and this one has happened, I think within the last year, or maybe in the last 6 months, where someone had a shielding arrangement, like a highly obvious shielding arrangement. I think in this case, it was a steel cage, it's almost like a steel coffin that this person had. And the police came there on some pretext, and they saw that, and they locked the woman up. So you have to avoid. So if you want to do stuff to make yourself feel better, that's fine. But don't do it in a way that makes you look that's going to make you look crazy to anybody dropping in. Because
that's another problem that I have never thought about. You just brought it to my attention.
Yeah, because you hear these stories occasionally on the news about people who may have been put through this treatment and go over the edge, and it turns out, the neighbors say, oh, you really hated the government. He had aluminum foil everywhere, and that's the kind of thing you're fitting into a stereotype when you do that.
The funny part is they can penetrate even vehicles. I mean, with these electronic weapons, you can penetrate vehicles. Doesn't matter. I mean, there is nothing that can immune from this unless you have either something like a mirror, a reflective surface, or...
Well, you know, that kind of supports the idea that electronic mind control, because let's say, for example, that you have implants, right? You have almost, I'm not saying that you have this, but it's almost like you have a cell phone inside you, right? If you have an implant, it's like you have a cell phone inside you, and that cell phone can be signaled from anywhere. It's like when you're carrying a cell phone around your car, you don't lose your signal on your cell phone. You can still talk in your cell phone in the car.
Okay.
So let's say that you had a miniature radio transmitter and receiver hooked up to your nervous system. It could be signaled from anywhere. I'm not saying that this is the case, but it could be signaled from anywhere.
My head been chipped when I was asleep.
And it wouldn't matter that you were in your car.
I have a suspicion, Jeremy, that I have been chipped when I was asleep, because I have woke up multiple times and I found my truck to be open. So it's not...
Okay, well, yeah, you just have to be aware that they're trying lots of different things to see what they can get you to believe. But the explanation that makes the most sense, especially when you're getting tracked with electronic harassment that follows you in the road while you're in your vehicle... The explanation that makes the most sense is electronic mind control, and these signals are being sent to implants inside your body. That's the explanation that makes the most sense. I'm not saying that this is happening, but this explanation makes the most sense.
I do have implants in my left arm. I had a spiral fracture back in 1999, and I had an open arm surgery on it. And they have so many multiple screws in there, and something to basically a plate that holds the entire arm intact. But I really do believe that if I have an implant, it's not going to be in that area. My implant will be in the skull somewhere.
Okay.
Like under the skull, possibly.
Okay. Well, I don't know what your situation is. All I know is what you're telling me, and. I'm just making suggestions based on what you're telling me. That's all. But of course, it's not going to help. It's not going to help you if you decide that that's the problem. You know, you have to go to a lot of trouble to detect or remove implants. And of course, a lot of TIs who believe that they have implants have not been able to find them. So that's something else you should consider.
The other problem is I was reading actually about a lawsuit by somebody to basically to one of the government agencies. I forgot which one. I think it's the NSA. I'm not quite sure.
You're probably thinking of ACWA versus NSA. Here's the thing. Anybody can claim anything in a lawsuit, okay? Just because he made certain claims about what the NSA was doing in that lawsuit does not mean that things are happening the way he says they're happening, okay? I'm sure that he believed that things were happening that way, but that doesn't mean that they were happening that way. Anybody can claim anything in a lawsuit.
If he has the information right in front of him, that's why he's suing, because he ended up turning into becoming a PI.
The case was thrown out of court, so obviously he didn't have very good evidence.
Yeah. Well, anyways, they said that there is something called the bioelectric signature of the body.
Well, that is what was said in the lawsuit. That doesn't mean it's true.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I do really appreciate the help. Thanks so much for everything, Jeremy.
Okay. Good luck. And try to get some sleep.
That's the thing. Have a good one.
Okay, good night. All right, has anybody else got any questions? Anybody? Bueller. Okay, I see someone. Hello, Tammy.
Hey, Jeremy.
Yep.
Yeah. On sleep deprivation, I'm glad that was brought up again because I'm having Dr. Mandel.
Oh, the binaural beats. I completely forgot to mention to this guy in Michigan.
Oh, go ahead. I'll say my thing after. Go ahead.
Yeah, but basically, to the person in Michigan, try looking up alpha or delta or even theta binaural beats on YouTube if you can get access to a computer and download them to a portable music player that has stereo headphones and play them. And you're going to find that helps entrain your brain and helps you get to sleep more easily. Binaural beats, look for those on YouTube. The basic idea is that you have two sounds at slightly different frequencies, and your brain perceives the difference between those frequencies. And if the difference between those frequencies corresponds to a natural relaxation state, like an alpha, theta, or even delta state, that's going to help you get to sleep. That's been the experience of several TIs. So please look into that. Okay, sorry. You were saying?
Oh, no, that's okay. That was a good point. I was just saying that I'm glad that sleep deprivation was brought up because I'm having Dr. Mandel on my show on Saturday. And I didn't have that on my list of questions. And he is a natural healer, you know. He's into natural medicine, and he's in the anti-psychiatry movement.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just very interesting, and he's about to put a book out. So we're having him on pre-book, and that would be a great thing to ask him about. So I'm going to add that to the list.
Yep,
I just wanted to plug that. If you want to come into the Saturday show, that's definitely going to be one of the things that I'm going to be asking about. And we're going to have an actual doctor on the line who will be taking your questions in the second hour. So if you would like to know from a doctor who is, you know, a good person and definitely not in on it, maybe how to combat some of the symptoms, please call in that second hour and ask about your specific symptoms. The things I'm planning to for sure speak with him about are so far post-traumatic stress disorder, anti-psychiatry, and now I'm going to add sleep deprivation to the list too, because that's a good physical. We have a lot of physical symptoms, and there are things that we can do, even if it's electronically delivered. There's things that we can do to combat those things. So this will be a great opportunity for questions. Thanks, Jer.
Okay. All right. Any other questions? A lot of callers, not many questions tonight. Okay, well, I'm perfectly happy to bring this to an early close. Oh, California. Hello.
Hello, Jeremy.
Hey.
Could you give me what you were talking about again about the viral? The thing you were just talking about. I just came in on the tail end of it, but it had to do with sleep deprivation.
Yeah. Yeah, the basic idea is that if you play the same sound at slightly different frequencies into each ear, one frequency in one ear, one frequency in the other, your brain will perceive the difference between those frequencies. And if the difference corresponds to alpha, delta, or theta brainwave frequencies, this will promote a relaxation state. It will entrain your brain to a relaxation state. And many TIs find that it helps with sleep deprivation. It even helps with the voices.
Good. How do you spell it again, what I'm going to look for?
Okay. Yeah, sure. BINAURAL, binaural.
Got it.
And
thank you.
Beats, BEATS. Yep, sure. And you want to play it on like a portable music player with headphones. If you just play it monophone, then you will not get the effect. So you have to play it stereophonic.
Do you have to play it before you get ready to rest for the night, or?
Well, it's a good idea to do that. Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I just figured I'd ask anyway. Thank you very much.
Okay. Good night.
Night.
Okay. All right. Doesn't look like anybody else has any questions. Okay, well, I guess this will end the recorded portion of the call.